Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's a Pensacola Morning News, and here in studio with me, I've got Chip Simmons, the sheriff for Escambia County. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Doing well. We've had a bunch of, really unpleasant stories. Let's start with this. Is there any resolution yet on the report that there was a man, an older man, with a white beard and a pickup truck that had a naked female juvenile in the truck in some way? What do we know?
That was what was reported, and that's really all we know. Just to remind everyone, we got a call of an individual was walking his dog, and he said he happened upon his truck with what you described, a younger female, preteen female that was unclothed, and then that truck sped away. Rather detailed truck description, and so we had several conversations with the reporting person, and he's adamant that this is how it happened. This is the individual that did it. So obviously, an abundance of caution. I came in, changed my clothes, came inside, and did an appeal. Hey, if you know of this person, if this sounds familiar to you, if you know of a male that would have been in the company of a younger child like this, let us know. And we got a lot of people that are helping us out. We did go through, obviously went through the businesses and the homes in the area and see if anyone had video camera. And we don't see any truck that fit that description at the time that the reporting person said it would have been there. However, in abundance of caution, we're going to continue to investigate it as reported. At this point, I can't say that it happened exactly the way it was reported, but anytime there's the potential that a child's in danger, we're going to go to the extent that we have. But there's nothing new. We're still asking if the people be vigilant. If you happen to see a truck that fit that description, call us. And we have had a couple of phone calls that are pretty darn close to this, and we're following up on every one of those. And again, if there's just the potential that a child's in danger, we're going to continue to do what we have to do.
And I guess the person who reported it, you didn't have a license plate to go on, but you did have a pretty good description of the vehicle. And as I understand it, the flock readers are actually capable of, you can use AI with the flock and discriminate on the basis of make, type, age, color, condition. It's not just license plate numbers alone, right?
Some of the cameras have AI capabilities where you can put just pickup trucks, or you can even put colors in there. I don't know that. I think that the flock cameras, many of those are simply license plate readers.
Okay.
But there may be some that are AI. But my understanding is that a lot of those are simply license plate readers, and we don't have a license plate. However, we do have some other cameras that are throughout Escambia County in the roadways. Watching the roadway areas, and they do have the AI capabilities, as you mentioned. And obviously, we activate our real time crime center. Mm-hmm. That's what it's for. For situations like this. And we had people that were actually working from the office, but also people that have the capability of pulling that up from their work laptop from their home.
Right.
And then they can easily plug in whatever information we feel like we need, or they can look at our cameras and see if a truck fit in that description was in the area.
You said something that just I want to follow up on. You said activate the real-time crime center. Is the real-time crime center not active all the time, some of the time, only
it's
in
not
only
always
necessity?
Manned, not 24 hours. We don't have the manpower
right
yet. We're working towards expanding it. It started off as a daytime thing, but we had the capability of activating it, if you will.
Okay.
from a laptop from home.
Okay. I assumed it wasn't always going like overnights and that kind of stuff,
right.
But I just didn't know what the parameters were. We also have you're wanting Devon Kentrell Williamson in connection to a homicide on Booker Lane.
Right. There was a drug deal that had gone wrong, and there were shots fired, and ultimately it led to the death of an individual. Our investigators, again, very busy, very, very active, and they were able to determine that this is the individual that we believe committed the crime. And so we have a murder warrant out for this individual, and we're asking for people to let us know. We are not certain at this point that he is in town, but as you know, people come and go. You know, whenever they're wanted, they think it's a cool idea to flee town, and then they realize that I miss my home, or I miss this and that, and that they'll find their way to visit people, visit their family, and they'll come in and out of town. So we're asking if people know of this individual, where he is, and when he might be in town, to let us know.
And he's also wanted in connection to a missing persons case, right? There's sort of two different cases, or is that not?
It's
the same thing. Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha. And then, we have had a rash of kid stories lately. You know, Santa Rosa County has got this horrible malnourishment case. You had the child that got stabbed in Santa Rosa County. This horrible story. you know, we had, you had, your agency had the child's body that was found,
right, discarded,
you know,
in a trash bag. Right.
And I think you also had a malnourishment case not that long ago, within the last couple of weeks. But we've had, I mean, I was talking to the medical examiner. She said they had five kid deaths in like a week. It was crazy. So we have another aggravated manslaughter related to a three-year-old in this case. What happened here?
Well, this is the one we reported last. I think it was March the 4th, we initially reported that we got a call of a three-year-old that had been suffering cardiac arrest and ultimately passed away. And the investigation led us, in conjunction with the medical examiner's office, as you just mentioned, that there's just some horrific injuries to mm-hmm. this child, and what I can only describe as torture. And ultimately, we arrested and charged the uncle, who was the caregiver, with negligent manslaughter at the time. And it's based upon the fact that he did not take this child to go and to get treatment. He took the child to work instead, and after a period of time, it was not until the child went unconscious and suffered this cardiac arrest that he ended up calling 911. So we charged him with that, but I was very careful then to say that there's going to be other charges. Someone's going to be responsible for the injuries and the treatment of this child. We just have to do a lot more interviews. We had to interview the other siblings. We had to interview some other family members. And then our investigators with the Gulf Coast Kids House, we were able to do that. And we eliminated a lot of people. And we're now upgrading the charge from negligent manslaughter to felony murder.
Okay.
So we're holding the uncle, who was, again, the caregiver at the time, with accountable for not just the failure to give the proper
failure
to
render,
the child,
yeah,
but also for the treatment itself. So we're seeking justice in this case.
On the good news side, we've got Male Blazer Academy graduating tonight.
Yes, our sixth Male Blazer Academy. We have about 25 to 30 kids each time, so we're getting into the
like 200 total, right?
And
that's great.
So yes, tonight it will be our graduation. We're going to have it at the fine folks at the First Baptist Church downtown. There's allowed us to use their auditorium because a singer was busy tonight, apparently. And so we're going to meet there, graduate there, and then we're going to go down to the Global Grill for what we call a fine dining experience. The simple people like me, that's as fine as it gets for me.
That is fine dining, though.
I love it. And they treat us very well. They set up an area for us, and you know, we'll post pictures. You've likely seen pictures of us getting another. We'll give them the gift, the pocket watches, the gift and stuff. So we're very excited about it. Another great group of kids, and just to hear their thoughts of their future, the community's future, their family, and who they appreciate, what they appreciate, and the mix of the kids that we have in the class. It's not all at risk. It's not prep school type kids. It is a mix of kids, and it kind of warms your heart to hear that this is where our future is going. Mm-hmm. You know, because a lot of times you hear a lot of people they're getting down on the youth and young folks, and where are we going as a culture? We're fine. We're going to be just fine.
You know, it's interesting because I think about the sort of the experience broadening that gives them. I mean, to go out to a place like that, to maybe the first time ever they've been to a nice restaurant, you know, even close to that, that broadens their experience base. I also think probably for your deputies, aside from the, you know, there's so many negative things about being a cop that, you know, doing something where you can see the result, the goods, like the Christmas mm-hmm. shopping, it's such a good right. thing. But also, it's kind of, you tell me if I'm wrong, but it teaches your deputies that when they're looking at a teenager who's a problem, you know, that they might learn to see in them the Blazer Academy kid, you know, or the possibility of it. And that's helpful too, to remember, you know, inside of most all of these humans is, you know, sort of the better human waiting to get out if they can, you know, figure out a way. And I love every dimension of this program. So have other agencies have adopted this yet or not yet?
Well, there are other agencies that do their own
version. Okay.
Now I've been contacted looking for the curriculum, but to me, the best part of our program is flexibility. And if something happens in today's, you know, we usually open up a current events. What's going on? What are you hearing? What are you thinking? And in the Iranian war and all that stuff that was taking place last. And while we're not getting political in it, we really don't. We do talk about insecurities and how you feel about this and that, and you're going to be okay. You know, you're going to be, you can do whatever you want to be. You can be whatever you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do. And if we just reinforce what likely their parents and their caregivers are giving them, it's just a different environment from a different perspective. being law enforcement, but also from the experiences, the shared experiences that we've had in a law enforcement community.
I love it. You have movie night coming up, right?
Yeah, we have a movie night coming up, and I just looked at my phone here. Looks like we're showing the movie Home. I've not seen it yet, so pull me up a chair and eat me a hamburger.
I'm told we're showing Home. Yeah, one of my favorite movies I have never seen.
It's 5:30 on Friday night, and it's at Triangle Park, which is in Navy Point.
Over okay.
315 yeah. West Sunset. It's kind of unique. If you go to Navy Point, if you're not familiar with it, and I'm not sure if they want everyone there, but I'll tell you, right. it is a unique park. It's right in the middle, and you can't miss it. And what is it called? Triangle Park. And why? Because it looks like a triangle.
And once you go into that area, you can't miss it. It's
really
right there on
cool
the front
experience.
Entrance.
Yeah. So, and certainly for a movie night. In fact, we've had one. We had one there last year, and we thought, you know, this is pretty cool. Let's do one here again. And, you know, the neighbors come out, and they talk to people, and it's very, very nice. Anyways, Friday night, 5:30, the movie Home, and it says, give them a little spiel, Worlds Collide is what they say here, and it's apparently a good movie.
Sheriff's doing movie promos and everything. I love it. I've been told
I'll come back next Tuesday and tell you my thumbs up or thumbs down.
Hey, a couple of quick questions. One is Panama City Beach is doing, I think, an overnight, like a curfew on their beaches because spring break is kind of now, and next week is especially intense. Our local schools are out next week, I think. But we're not doing anything like that. No issues, no problems. We've managed to successfully be not Panama City Beach.
Over the last couple of years, we've really reinforced the idea, come here, but don't think you're going to tear up our beach. Don't think you're going to act a fool and you're going to get away with it. We're not going to do that. I had a meeting with a lot of the business owners and Island Authority about 2 weeks ago and told them, this is what we're going to do. We're going to send undercover operatives in places that sell alcohol. We're not going to tolerate selling alcohol to minors. We're not going to tolerate minors drinking alcohol. We're going to have additional cameras. Our mobile platforms are out there. The vans, the nuisance vans are out there around Casino Beach. We want people to come. We want families to come. We want kids to come enjoy themselves, but we want them to understand you're going to respect our beach or you're going to go to jail.
Man, that would have when that's I was in college. When I was in college, I wouldn't want to go to Pensacola, but that's the point. If you want to misbehave, you can go to Daytona instead.
If you want to come and eat dinner and have fun on the beach, then you shouldn't come. If you want to cause problems.
I saw something the other day I had not seen before. I know you're in the process of, as you acquire new vehicles, you're not painting them green anymore. You're keeping them white. That saves you money, gets them out to deploy on time, you know, in a timelier manner and so forth. But I saw one I had not seen before. It was a Jeep.
Right.
The white Jeep livery. Mm-hmm. It was the deputies that were working security from Manapickable, Fillable. You got one? You got money?
Two? Two of them. Yeah.
How in demand are they?
Oh, they're actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
If you've seen them, they're white. They were probably the first white vehicles that we had. We've had them for a couple of years now, probably
three,
maybe 4 years now. They use them at the beach from time to time.
Okay.
But they also go to certain events, and obviously they'll be used during a hurricane. And we had two of them. We'll probably end up having to get a couple more as they continue to age. But they're pretty cool. We have the Jeeps. We obviously have our 57, our vintage car that was donated by the Scambia County Sheriff Foundation. And we have
as
the
in
Corvette
not taxpayer money. That's
exactly,
the key there, not taxpayer money.
And we have the Corvette that was seized. Again, no taxpayer dollars were used. And even the wrap on the Corvette was donated by the Scambia County Sheriff Foundation. So we have a lot of these things are engagement tools. Those Jeeps you're talking about are actually used. I mean, again, we use them. To your point, they were used during the the off-duty gig that we were working.
This is the last quick thing is, but I do want to notice it. K-9 Jet with PPD. Yes. Of course, you used to be the chief PPD. You're still pretty close to a lot of those guys. Just young dog that was serving at the airport, bomb detector, and got sick and got some kind of illness and passed away. And, to the handlers, these are their family, you know, and to the rest of the officers, they're, you know, brothers in arms. But any thoughts? Just, I mean, give you a chance to kind of comment on that because your agency, you know, I was talking to Mike Wood about this yesterday. He's like, yeah, I mean, it's bad. We're suffering. You know, we've lost somebody we love. And it was like the happy dog at the airport, you know, the companion dog at the airport to make, you know, and now he's not there.
Well, they're very much a part of the family, very much a part of the force. And it's tragic. We had a dog pass away from an illness also about 3 or 4 months ago. And it does. It affects not just the handler, but it affects the team itself because you go to events and you see these dogs, you know their name. And we put out a lot of body camera footage, and we comment about which dog this is.
Yeah, yeah.
And our dogs are named after our fallen deputies, so you know it's Anyway, we had a dog jump over the bridge and mm-hmm. suffered injuries, but ended up surviving that. So it's you know, our heart and obviously go out to the Pensacola Police Department and what they're going through with the loss of the canine. We're one of the few agencies that have actually lost canines in the line of duty by gunfire. We've lost two canines, and they're on our wall with the deputies that have lost their life as well. So we're going to continue to honor them. And again, I hope that, you know, that they can get another dog and replace. I guess it will never replace them in their hearts, but it's something that you know could happen when you have a pet. You know, we all have pets, and we all understand that their timelines are not what a human timeline is. And I guess the lesson there is to enjoy them while we have them.
Absolutely. Chip Simmons is Escambia County Sheriff. We always talk to him on a Tuesday. Sheriff, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.